Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve who loves us so much. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love, your goodness, and your mercy. Shakabasi toroko shandarabasi. Se toroko shandarabasi toroko shandarabasi. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He is awesome. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Today's message is based on John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Wow. He loves us and he wants us to love others. This is Yeshua speaking. If you had a red letter Bible, this verse would be in red. Because this is Yeshua speaking. He's saying he's giving a new commandment. A new commandment to love. I believe that many in the world today suffer from the lack of feeling loved. It's not that people don't love them. But do they feel loved? No. Why? I think it stems from the fact that people experience love in different ways. In fact, there's a whole brand called the Five Love Languages. You can visit their website and take a quiz to help you discover what your primary and secondary love languages are. When people speak your love language, your love tank is filled and you feel loved. When people around you are not speaking your love language, then your love tank gets depleted and you don't feel loved. We all want to feel loved, right? I think this is really important for married couples to understand so they can show love to their spouses in a way that speaks to their heart. And this will strengthen the relationship. You know, while dating, people tend to speak the other person's love language more frequently. You're trying to win the heart of that other person. So you're paying extra attention to what they like, what they don't like, what makes them feel loved. And you start practicing that. That is why you fall in love. People are feeling loved. Oh, this person loves me. Oh, I love them. I love them for loving me. But one of the reasons why marriages fail is that they stop speaking the love language a year or two down the road. Life happens. They have children. They begin to get used to each other. And so they stop remembering how to speak their spouse's love language. Then they're not feeling loved anymore. Oh, he stopped loving me. He don't love me. She doesn't care about me. So we got to learn to speak each other's love language and keep speaking it so our relationships remain strong, whether it's a marriage or with friends or other family members. Because we can apply this to any relationship. If you want to have a strong relationship with someone, learn to speak their love language and speak it frequently, every day. Say something in their love language to them. Then their love tank will be full and they will feel loved and the relationships will be strong. Because who wants to be around people who are devaluing you, who communicate that they don't care about your feelings? I know I don't. And I'm disrespected. When people aren't speaking my love language, I feel like I don't really want to be around you. But when you speak their love language, You feel loved and appreciated and safe around them. And we all want to feel safe. We all want to be safe people to be around. So what are the five love languages and how do we speak them? Let's start with mine. My primary love language is quality time. To speak this love language, I need you to spend time with me, engaging me in deep conversations, sharing experiences, or simply enjoying my company, playing a game or watching TV or going fishing or something that I enjoy. People who speak this love language don't want someone to be physically present only. Like with watching TV, you could be in the room watching TV with me, but if you are not engaging me in the show, like occasionally making a comment and having a discussion about the show, or after the show is over, talk about what we just watched, then you're just hanging out in the room and we happen to be there watching the same thing, and you may not even be watching it. If you're playing on your phone or on your laptop, you're just hanging out. You're not really watching TV with me. Or if you go fishing with me and you don't hang out near me, then you're not fishing with me. You walk away and go fish in your own area, then really we both may be fishing, but you're fishing by yourself over there and I'm fishing by myself over here. So that's not really quality time. I may be having fun because I'm an independent person and I enjoy fishing and I don't really need to hang out with you fishing all the time. But sometimes it's fun to have you right near me, sharing the experience with me. People who speak this love language crave undivided attention. That means that when we're having a conversation, we're having a deep conversation, especially, look at me. Show by your body language you're engaged, that you're interested in the conversation. Otherwise, I'm not going to be feeling so much love. You may be doing something, but if you're divided, then it becomes frustrating. And then it's like, are you listening? I have to constantly ask, are you listening? Then I'm not feeling loved. So quality time is undivided attention, engaging in deep conversations, sharing experiences, or simply enjoying each other's company without distractions. My secondary love language is acts of service. To speak this love language, do things that ease my burden or make my life easier. Like help me with my household chores. Cook a meal, wash some dishes, do my laundry, clean my house. If you are someone who speaks this language and you have kids still, then if your spouse watches the kids so you can have some me time or go out with your friends and have some fun, that's also a way to speak acts of service because you're doing something to make that person's life easier. The third love language is receiving gifts. We all like to get gifts, especially on special occasions like our birthday. But for someone who speaks this love language, it shows how much you love them when you give them something. And you should be giving them something every day. I'm not saying you have to spend money on this gift, because we may not have the money, but there's a lot of free things you can give. Give them attention. That's a gift. Your time is also a gift. This may sound somewhat like quality time, but in their mind, they're seeing it as a gift. A person who speaks quality time, say, this is quality time. But it is really a gift as well, because your time is valuable. We all have only so much time. So when you give your time to someone, that's a beautiful gift. And it doesn't cost anything except for the time. You can give them a gift of a special dinner, breakfast in bed, or a trinket or something that you picked up while shopping because it made you think of them. You know, if you see something in the store where you're walking around and you think of that person, oh, you know them well, they'll like that. If you can afford it, pick it up. Give it to them. They'll really appreciate it if they speak receiving gifts. Maybe give them a gift certificate. You know, a gift certificate's an awesome thing. If you don't know what to give people on a special gift-giving occasion, a gift certificate is always a good choice because they can spend it however they want. If it's, you know, like a Walmart gift card or a Publix gift card or some other store that they like to shop at, maybe they're a sports fan and there's a sports store in town, they can go get something that they like from that store, a clothing store. If they like massages, get them a massage gift certificate to get a massage or a gift card for their favorite restaurant. We all like to eat out, right? These are always good options. Any gift that communicates that you really don't know them or care about their feelings or likes or dislikes is really going to have the opposite effect. For example, something that doesn't work for them or is not their favorite color, especially if it's a color that they don't like. Like I've had people give me gifts that are red. I'm not a fan of red or pink. And so if you're going to give me, you know, something that is red, like towels or a vase or something, and it's red, I'm not going to really feel loved by that. I'm not going to really like it. And I may be polite and receive it, but I'm just going to end up regifting it, doing something else with it later because I'm not going to use it because I don't like red. My favorite color is brown. So if you get me something that's brown, like a brown blanket or a set of brown towels, something like that, I'm probably going to like it. Even though gifts is not my primary love language, we can all learn to speak it. And we all do speak that gift to some degree because we all like to get gifts, right? So I think it's actually true for everyone. Who likes a gift that doesn't work for them? Really, if someone gives you something that doesn't work, it's like a Debbie Downer, right? You're like, okay, we may be charitable and show gratitude for their efforts, but then we're going to end up donating it to charity or regifting that item later. And if you do regift something, just make sure you remember who it came from and don't try regifting it to them. That's going to not go off too well. And if you're someone who gave someone a gift and you happen to catch them regifting it, just learn from that. Realize that that wasn't the best gift for them. It didn't communicate the right message. Otherwise, they wouldn't be regifting it. So learn from that and get them a better gift next time. Start to listen more and study them and get to know them, so that you can give better gifts in the future, okay? So that's what a good gift communicates, is that you know that person. You care about that person enough to get to know them and what they like, what they don't like, what their favorite color is. Like flowers. I'm not a flower person either. I like the flowers to stay on the plants outside. Now, I can have flowers for, like, if I'm doing a centerpiece for an event, I may put flowers on there because flowers look nice. But if you're going to give me a gift, a bouquet of flowers is probably not the best choice for me. I will appreciate it and I will display it, but really it's not going to be a real important thing in my life. You know, I'm not going to go and look at it much. Really, I'll forget it's there. To be honest, I'll just forget and I'll just set it off on the side and I'll just be walking around doing my life and I'll forget the flowers there until later I walk by and I see they're all dead and dried up. And then I'm like, oh, I need to throw those outside. So a bouquet of flowers is probably not the best gift for me. A candle now in a fragrance that I really like is a good gift because I like to burn candles frequently to make my atmosphere smell good. But you got to give me a candle that I like. If you give me a candle with a floral fragrance, probably not the best gift because I don't like floral fragrances. I like fruity fragrances. So if it's a fruit, then I'm probably going to like it. Or like baked goods. I have some candles that I like that were like sugar cookies or some kind of cake. And they smelled really good because I like to bake. So it smells like I'm baking. So those are kind of good gifts to give me. And also I'm kind of practical. So if you give me something that I really need, then that's a good gift. The next love language I want to talk about is words of affirmation. People who speak this language need to feel recognized and appreciated. Saying, I love you. You are awesome. Good job. I appreciate what you did. That is beautiful. And other such phrases go a long way in filling their love tank. And don't insult them. If you tear them down or insult them in any way, it will just drain their love tank in a hurry. They can't take criticism, harsh criticism. So if you have to bring correction, learn to say it in a way that is encouraging. Like the Lord, when he corrects us, he does it with hope. He convicts us. He doesn't condemn us. So people whose love language is words of affirmation, you don't want to ever make them feel condemned. Be careful about the words you use when bringing correction. Never call them stupid or crazy or say things like, what the heck were you thinking? You know, stuff like that. That will just make them feel low. It will depress them. Tell them, I know you meant well, but how about we try it this way next time? I appreciate your efforts. But this way may work better next time. Because then they'll listen. Because they heard words of affirmation first, they're open to the correction after. So we want to make sure that we watch how we say things to other people. Same things in an encouraging way. Especially when we're bringing correction, we want to recognize people's efforts and value up front first, then they'll be open to the correction. And the last love language, the fifth love language, is physical. The last love language I want to talk about, fifth love language, is physical touch. People who speak this love language enjoy hugs and kisses, cuddling, holding hands, anything that requires you to actually touch them. Because this conveys a sense of warmth and safety. We all like some of these things in each of these love languages, like hugging and kissing, especially your spouse. You know, if you're in love with someone, you'd love to hug and kiss them. You'd love to cuddle. Even if it's not necessarily your love language, you like it to some extent. If it's really low, physical touch is really low on your love language quiz, then you might not be so fond of this very often. You don't need a lot of it. An occasional kiss, a hug now and then, maybe. But if you are married to someone who this is their love language and you're really low on it, you're going to have to learn to speak this love language and give them hugs and kisses and cuddle with them. So think about that. And we all know that people appreciate you by hearing thank you. We like to hear thank you, right? Everybody likes that. We like to say thank you and you're welcome a lot in my house. And even please. Even when I'm asking my son to do something, I say, please do this. Thank you. Please do this. Thank you. It's like all the time we want to show that people have value. And no matter what love language you speak, showing value by showing appreciation and being polite is always appropriate. Everybody will appreciate that. It keeps the peace. Who's going to be upset at you saying please and thank you? No one. But the people who speak the language, like whatever it is, they thrive on that thing that shows that love language. If you don't speak that love language, then you can take it or leave it. It's not really a big concern to you. It doesn't affect your love tank one way or the other. But people who speak that love language, whatever one it is, if you don't speak their love language, their tank will not be full. They will have depleted love tanks. They will not feel like you love them. They will not even hear you communicating love if you don't speak it in their language. Not that we can't learn to understand other people's love languages and realize they have a different love language and they are communicating love to me. But it's more like a head knowledge and understanding and maturity, acceptance that, okay, like if you give me a gift I really don't like and you don't really know me that well, you're kind of new in my life, I appreciate that you made an effort to give me a gift and you don't know me that well yet. So I'm not going to have my love tank depleted by that act of kindness. However, if you've been in my life for many years and you should know me and you should know what I like and don't like, and you give me a gift that I don't like, it's going to pull that love right out of my tank, because then I'm going to think, you really don't care about me. You spent all this time with me and then you are doing something I don't like. You give me a gift that's red. How dare you? You know, someone who doesn't know me gives me a red gift. Okay, they don't know I don't like red. Someone who's known me for many years gives me a gift that's red. Okay, that's a whole different story. You don't really care about me. You see how that works? Depending on the context. So when you get to know someone, you become part of their circle. And you get to know them, make sure you give gifts or do things they like. Maybe I like the housework done a certain way. It's not really an act of service if you don't do it the way I like it done and I have to go back and redo it. It's just a waste of time and resources. And if you waste my time and resources, I'm not going to be very happy, and I'm definitely not going to feel very much loved and appreciated. And when you're spending time with me, if it's not undivided attention, if you're distracted or you're doing something else, then you're not really spending time with me. In my mind, it's like, okay, that's not showing love. You're just here, and you're not really hanging out with me to show me love and value. You're just in the room. And we, in all these different ones, and physical touch, if I were to speak physical touch and you didn't hug and kiss me every day, like a lot, then I wouldn't feel very much loved and appreciated. But I'm not a physical touch person. I mean, we all like I said, hugs and kisses, but I don't thrive on that. I don't crave it. So we need to understand these love languages and what the people in our lives speak, and make sure we're doing our best to speak that love language to them. Because if we're trying to just speak our own love language, they may not hear us. And then you say, wow, I've been saying I love you every day, all the time. I tell you I love you. But you're saying it in your love language, not theirs. So they're not hearing it. They're not getting their love tank filled. So make sure you learn these love languages. Learn to speak it. You can. You can learn to speak someone else's love language. And we must learn to speak someone else's love language, because we have relationships. And so some of these things may speak to more than one love language, like a good massage. This can speak to physical touch, but it can also be an act of service by meeting a need or receiving gifts. Like if someone has receiving gifts as their love language, giving them a gift certificate to get a massage will speak to that love language. Or on a special occasion, maybe you give them a massage, a birthday massage. Now, I'm not a gift person. That's not one of my primary love languages. But, you know, I like a good massage, because that's an act of service. An act of service is one of my love languages. So if you serve me by giving me a good massage, I feel loved. So you see how that works? It can be one or the other, depending on their love language. You can frame it in their love language, and the same thing can meet the needs of several different people depending on their love language. I believe this has been one of the most life-changing lessons for me about the five love languages. I learned this years ago, and I've tried to apply this, and it's really life-changing. Once you get a handle on the love languages and learn how to speak them and show people that you love them by speaking their language and helping their love tank get full, I highly recommend that you visit 5lovelanguages.com and take the quiz for yourself. That website again is the number 5lovelanguages.com. Take the quiz and find out for yourself what your love languages are, and encourage those in your relationship with to take the quiz too. Whether it's your spouse, a friend, other family members, encourage them to get on there and take the quiz too. And then discuss the results and make a commitment to speak to each other's love languages. And that will encourage growth in relationships, strong relationships, whether it's a marital relationship or just family. Parents, don't you want to have strong relationships with your children? And children, don't you want to have a relationship with your parents? We all want to get along. And when we are busy trying to show someone love, then we fulfill the commandment to love one another. Amen? You know, I also noticed they have quizzes to learn about our apology language and anger management skills. These are also very good to take and learn about ourselves and those in our circle. Because Christianity, being part of the kingdom, is really about relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with others. So any chance we have to improve our relationships, it's a good thing. If we can learn to apologize in such a way as to speak to someone else's heart, then that will also show love. Amen? Because if you apologize to me and I'm not feeling it, I'm not hearing it, because that's not the way I speak apology. And trust me, there's different apology languages. There's different ways you can apologize. And depending on how they hear that apology depends on whether they may receive it or not. You want people to forgive you. I mean, we should forgive each other just because that's what we're supposed to do. But it makes it easier for people to get over stuff if you apologize in the way that they can understand that you really are sorry and really are apologizing. So take that quiz too, because that's a really important one. And anger management skills. You know, the Bible tells us to be angry, but sin not. So it's important for us to know how to manage anger and when to be angry and when not to be angry and how to be angry and what to do with our anger. Because anger is an emotion, and being angry is not a sin, but what you do with that anger could be. So we want to manage our anger the right way. And when we apologize the right way and manage our anger and speak their language, it communicates that we value the people in our lives. We value their feelings. It shows that we consider them important to us. And if we understand what makes someone else angry, or even ourselves, we understand anger about ourselves, then we can relate to each other better. And if we discover that we are not handling anger as well as we could, we can make a commitment to improve. You know, I want to confess that I had an anger management problem when my son was young. The Lord put his finger on that and said I needed to deal with that anger issue. So he had me type out every scripture I could find on anger and post it all over the walls and windows and in the room where we had school. And every time I would begin to get angry, I would stop and slowly read each scripture. You know, it really helped me to be less angry. It helped diffuse that anger and helped me to refocus on how to handle the situation in a much better way. So we need to learn to handle our anger properly. And then when we also learn about ourselves, how we get angry, what makes us angry, and why it makes us angry, it would help us to manage it too. Like maybe when our blood sugar drops because we're hungry, they call that hangry. We can learn to eat snacks and keep our blood sugar more leveled so we don't get so hungry. Or if we are busy and we start to get really hungry, we realize, okay, I'm hungry. Let me go eat something and deal with this situation. I'm starting to get angry, but you know, I'm hungry and I'm not dealing with it very well. So let me go eat something, take a break, step back from the situation. And when I can think about it and deal with it better, we'll revisit it. All these things will help us improve our relationships with each other. Amen. Well, I hope this message has helped you and that you are able to take the quizzes and strengthen the relationships in your life. So we just want to, you know, Jesus said that two greatest commandments is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So Lord, I ask that you would help us fulfill these greatest commandments to love you and love each other. And I heard the Lord say, you can't love others without experiencing my love for you. I believe the Lord is directing me to have you do a prophetic act in faith to receive an infusion of his love. This may seem strange, but we all have an imagination. So use your imagination to focus on God's love for you. By faith, hold up a goblet filled with a golden liquid. Hold it up in front of you. This golden liquid is God's liquid love. Now look at that. Use your imagination and picture that goblet in your hand. Picture it filled with the golden liquid love of God. Thank the Lord for his love. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Now drink from the goblet. You can do this every time you need to feel his love. Drink, 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 drink deeply of his love, his golden liquid love. Drink. He is faithful. Lord, help us to experience a depth of your love that we have never experienced before. A love that heals. A love that empowers us to love you and others. A never-ending love so deep and powerful. Thank you, Yeshua, for your love. 1 John 4:16 says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and everyone who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in them." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you for your love. Help us to love you and abide in you, and you and us. Hallelujah. If you are not yet abiding in God, you can by being what we call born again or being saved. How, you ask? We here at Lots of Love Ministries believe in Acts 2:38. After Peter had preached the gospel to the people, they asked, "What must we do?" And Peter told them to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, a gift isn't yours until you reach out and take it. So how do you receive the gift of new life in Yeshua? How can you reach out and take this wonderful gift? You repent and get baptized in his name. That's how you do it. Then he gives you the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit seals you as one of his own and empowers you to live for him and be his witness. Hallelujah. As always, if you have questions or comments or want to be baptized, please email me. My email is lotsoflovministries@yahoo.com. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So until next time, Shalom.